Welcome to Backstory Sessions. I'm your host, Matt. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, everybody. It's Kat. And I want to welcome you to this episode of Backstory Sessions. I'm joined today by my co-host, Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Kat. Hey, everyone. How are you?
Well, here we are. Another episode.
Yeah. I don't know what number this is. It's got to be like 160.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Like after 150, I kind of just like, oh, well, you know. When we get to 200 or close to that, I'll probably be like, oh, we're almost to 200. But, you know, we're in those in-betweens and, like, you don't get any badges or anything, I don't think.
No, probably not.
You know, like how you get one at 150 and you might get one at 175. I don't know. But, I mean, you know, every episode is important, of course. And yeah, over 150, you know, that's like, we're on the, what would you say? Like, you don't want to say the, like people say the back side of 30. So we're on the back side of 150. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm guessing it's like 160 or something like that.
Well, whatever it is, it's pretty awesome. I mean, because we have told some amazing backstories and, yeah, we should be really proud for that, I think.
Yeah, for sure. It's been fun. It's been, I think this month will be, we're starting year five?
Well, season five.
No, year five. This is like season 11, all right.
Wow. So, so amazing, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I mean, where has the time gone?
I know. It's just slipping away.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have had, like, just with this season, we have had all kinds of guests. And I like that about the podcast is that, you know, everybody has a story and you don't have to be just, you know, in this little genre in order for your story to be interesting. And, you know, I found that we've got, like, you know, actors, for instance, and they all have such different backgrounds, different paths that took them to maybe the same place. And this, our guest today, you know, we don't know a whole lot about.
Yeah, that's right? True, yeah.
But, you know, people that we've had people at all different stages of their careers. Like, you know, we've had people that have like played everywhere. You know, like we've had ELO, we had, you know, Bevan, the drummer for right. ELO, and we've had Artemis. I mean, we've had our share of drummers for sure.
Yeah, there's been quite a few.
You know, that are legendary, iconic people.
Yeah.
We've had iconic actresses and actors, you know, so people that have had like the best of the best careers we have had as guests.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have people like sort of middle of their careers, you know, they've got over the beginning stuff and they've made it, you know, to that kind of, you know, midpoint, I guess. They're yeah. not ready to retire, you know, or yeah. whatever. Yeah. And then we have people, you know, so Shell Games, they're beginning, but they're not like, you know, trying to be discovered, like, you know, just let's try to put a band together. They're not at that level.
Right.
And they're going to be going on a tour. So, you know, we're just catching them at a great time in their journey or their story, I feel like.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to hear how they got together. And, you know, I'm assuming that they're all, like, been involved in music and stuff for a while. So how they came together will be an interesting story, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a mostly female band with one guy. So he's kind of lucky, you know?
Yeah.
But there's not, you know, like, I think there's traditionally not been a lot of all-female bands or mostly female.
There's been a few that come to mind. I mean, look at Heart or...
The Bangles.
Yes, the Bangles or the Runaways with Joan Jett and...
The Go-Go's.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's been a few.
And, you know, like Aretha Franklin, like in those days, Diana Ross's Supremes.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there have been some great ones. But, you know, for every one of those that we could name, like, how many mostly male bands, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So, this will be interesting just for that fact. And so, Carrie, the member that we're going to interview, she plays the keyboards and also sings and writes songs. So, you know, have you ever thought about, like, if you were going to be in a band, like, what would be, you know, the best instrument to play as far as, like, touring and having to, you know, bring your instrument with you?
Well, I mean, the best scenario is to have roadies do it, and or like a guitar tech or keyboard tech or whatever, and they carry all that stuff and set it up for you. But I guess if I had to choose, it'd be like, I don't know, harmonica.
Well, is there any? Well, I, you know, a tambourine isn't too heavy either.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh no, the triangle. That would be a good...
Yes, triangle. Oh, or the little symbols you put on your fingers, you know.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
A kazoo.
A kazoo, I forgot. A kazoo would be even better.
Yes, you know, we still are... If there's anybody out there in a kazoo band, we would like to have you as a guest.
Yeah, of course.
We have been searching for the very best of the best.
Are there any bands that use kazoos that you know of?
Well, I mean, none that I am familiar with, but...
Yeah, it doesn't mean that there isn't one out there that does.
But maybe in Ghana or...
Ghana.
Well, I mean, you know, like, there could be someplace.
Yeah, there could be. Maybe.
And I'm saying Ghana because do you know that is of the countries outside of the U.S., you know, they are number three in our top listeners. So.
Yes. This month they are, for sure.
So if I had a kazoo or salute of some kind to Ghana, I'd be playing it because, you know, that's great. Keep listening out there and, your friends and all of that.
Right. Tell your friend.
Yeah. You know, seriously, like, I would think being the advantages, okay, like Hailstorm, you love, you know, Lizzie Hale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the advantages of being a female in a male-dominated kind of career of music would be what? You know, what are the advantages?
I guess if you're good-looking, men will pay attention to you.
So that could be a plus, I think.
Or a minus.
And it could be, you know, a curse, depending on, like, would they not take you seriously then and just think, you know, all you are is attractive?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some of that, but, I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to say.
Well, so there's not that many. So, you know, at least you're unique, I guess. You know, I mean... You're somewhat unique in that you're There's not as many of you.
Yeah, I guess. I
Although,
mean, I don't know. I never really thought about it. I mean, good
yeah.
music is good music. Doesn't matter whether it's a male or female singing it.
Well, I like to think that's the case. And, now that you have Taylor Swift, a lot of the top performers now are female.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
So I do think that, you got Dolly, Miley and Beyonce now. Just so like in all the different genres, you've got a lot of strong females that are out there making, breaking history of the male artists. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
But with Shell Games, they do have a male, so they do have male and female. And I'm curious about where they got the name. I think that's an interesting name.
Yeah, that'll be just another interesting part of the story.
Yeah. So I'm the good thing I think about having an artist that you don't know a whole lot about, because before that we planned to do this episode, I had not listened to the music. But since, I to prepare for the interview, I did listen, and I really do I like the music. The lyrics are really profound and interesting, and you could just a lot of talent, like a lot of talent in this group. So for that, I think sometimes it's really good to like listen to something outside of what you normally would listen to.
Well, what kind of music would you say it is?
It's kind of like Evanescence in a way, like it has kind of that feel to it.
Okay.
I like how their lyrics are, more than just like rhyme and
Right,
time,
yeah.
like those kind of like you hear a lot of. So it's not like that. It's like really beautiful lyrics. But some of the songs, are like the tempo is really faster. But then a lot are like dreamy ballad, like you're floating in space, like
Yeah, okay.
eye of the sky,
Gotcha.
yeah. So it was just a mixture, and really the songs are very, very different of the three that I listened to.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder where those ideas come from.
Well, we're gonna ask that question. I mean, because really it's well they're kind of from your neck of the woods, so
Really?
well from Connecticut, so
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not really my neck of the woods. I mean, it's a couple hundred
well
miles away, but
it's still like on the
close.
northeast,
Yeah, closer than Kentucky, for sure.
but I've heard that's like a great place for pizza. I don't know, but
I don't know either. Connecticut, good for pizza?
yeah, well,
Well.
you hate them, so,
Well, we'll see.
but we do know it's a great place for music, so because we're going to be talking to the artist today.
Right. Well, we'll talk to her in a minute. What else do we have coming up? Do you want to reveal any new guest information?
Oh my goodness, we have Rick Cosnett coming up, and this is
Yeah, he's going to be in there in a
us
couple of weeks, right?
accent, and
Huh?
oh gosh, he has on this like lilac purple suit, and oh, he's just dreamy.
Oh,
Like,
Lord.
I know, but that is the color for the season, so
Righty.
yeah, I mean, I know you don't want a bow tie or any of that, but
Nor do I want a purple suit.
I was getting ready to say you'd still look good in it, but
Sure, I will.
you knew like you were not going to go with those colors, but it
Yeah,
would
I would end
be.
up looking like a grape, I think.
No, it's the light. It's like the
Oh,
light.
no, I see.
light color purple, and would be a great Easter suit for you.
Yeah. No.
Well, you probably can't get one this time of the because it's
Yeah, drat.
Easter. Oh, well, we do. Oh my gosh, we almost did not say Happy Saint Patrick's Day to everybody listening. What's
All
this today?
right. Yes, this episode is airing on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, we should have opened with that. That's my fault, really, but.
Yeah, mine too, because I wasn't really thinking about it.
Well, I could use some of the luck of the Irish and
Can't we all?
well,
Got to
I
buy
am
those Powerball tickets, because, it's
well, that's all that ship has sailed, but
Yeah.
but I am somewhat Irish, so
Okay.
according to my DNA,
Oh, that's right. You did the 23andMe test.
Yes, I did. That was before I knew that, there would be a security breach and,
Oh,
like,
yeah.
but still, if someone were to get my DNA, like, I am Irish, so.
All righty. Well, let's talk to Carrie and find out about shell games and see what that's all about.
You mean, oh, Carrie.
Yes. All right. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this episode.
Carrie, I want to welcome you to Backstory Sessions. We're really excited to have you as our guest today.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I have to ask, first of all, about the title of your band, Shell Games. Where does that come from?
So, growing up, my favorite band ever was Bright Eyes, Connor Oberst, and one of his songs is Shell Games, and it means like kind of like a sleight of hand, like a manipulation, and like the three cups, and there's a ball underneath one, and they spin them around, and you got to pick which cup has the ball in it, but really they've snuck the ball away, so you're always going to lose. So I kind of feel like that's what we do with music. We just take sound and we manipulate it, and while you're listening, that's what your environment is, and then when the song ends, it's no more. So it kind of just spoke on a couple levels. It's just fun, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a conversation piece like we're having now of someone asking, what it meant to you. And so it sounds like music has been a big part of your life, at least from the listening aspect, as you were just talking about. So where did music begin for you?
Well, mine always dreamed of having a daughter play piano. And she put me in lessons about when I was about 4 or 5. And I had a private teacher, and I showed, I guess, an aptitude for piano from a young age. So we kept with it. Unfortunately, my sister did not. So they took her out of lessons pretty quickly, but they kept me in. And so now I was all my mom's hopes and dreams were centered on me alone, apparently. But no, it was a lot. I had weekly lessons, and I ended up performing in different recitals and also festivals, which is when you go into a room and you play a piece and judges will judge you in front of other people. So they like literally hold up those cards with the numbers on them after you're done. And yeah. And then you have a winner of each room. And then that goes on to playing to a bigger audience. And I remember being so nervous, I would throw up before going into play at a festival. I was just like crazy nervous. But for some reason, people loved when I played piano. So I kept with it for a little bit until I had an experience and then I stopped playing.
So, did you like playing piano? Because I know you said you were, good at it. Did you enjoy it?
I actually did. What would happen was, I know like people talk about like when you get runner's flow, like runners like run for a certain amount of time and then they just feel like kind of like outside themselves, I guess. That's how I felt when I would perform. I remember not being on the bench while I was playing, but I felt myself like kind of in the audience listening to myself play and enjoying it. And I always thought that was like a really cool experience I would have, like an out-of-body experience when I would play.
That is interesting. So what happened to, I guess you said you had an experience, so what happened that stopped your interest in playing piano or in playing piano, period? Did you just completely stop or just stop lessons?
Yeah, I completely stopped. I walked away, unfortunately. So there was a big recital happening. My teacher was very well known in the music teacher community, and there was a whole piano music teacher association going on at the time. And every year, each teacher would choose their best students to showcase and collaborate into one big recital. So I was one of the people picked for my teacher, and I was playing a piece. And honestly, I can't even tell you what the name of the piece was that I was playing, because I think I blocked it out. But I remember the piece had an A section, a B section, and then it went back to the A section. And the middle section, that B section, she was telling me that I wasn't playing it technically perfect. And she was worried that I wouldn't have it in time for the recital. And I remember she said, practice as much as you can, and we'll have one more lesson before the recital, and I'll make the decision whether you play that part or not. And I was like, okay. So I practiced. And I went back, and she told me that she thinks I should just skip the B section, play the A section, and then repeat it. And I was like, oh, that sounds kind of boring. It doesn't sound like I want to do that, but I don't know. So I went home and I told my mom about it. And she's like, listen, I think you play the B section beautifully. And if you want to do it, you do it. And I was like, okay. So the day of the recital happened, I didn't know what I was going to do. I sat down and I just started playing. And when the time came for me to either play the B section or repeat the A section, I felt like I couldn't not play that part for the audience, for the piece itself. So I just continued on and played the B section, and I played through the entire piece. And all I remember is when I stood up to bow after, the audience just erupted. It was just applause. It was insane. And I felt such relief at that point, because I was like, oh, okay, good. I did the right thing. And I remember going to my mom, sitting down, finishing watching everyone else. And after the recital ended, my teacher came up to me and she said that she was completely mortified. She said that I had embarrassed her in front of all of her peers, that the way I played the B section wasn't how it was written. I was playing it too creatively. I was interpreting it in a way that, you know, it wasn't specifically written on the piece, and that I was just, she was so disappointed in me. And I was like shocked, because everyone else was coming up to me and saying that I had moved them with my playing. So I was like, okay, very confused. I went home and my mom's like, let's go back. Let's, you know, for your next lesson, let's talk to her. I'm sure everything will be fine. And I was ready to be like, okay, you know what? Bad performance, whatever. That's it. I go back, and instead of having a lesson, she sits me down and plays a recording of my performance where she stopped, kept pausing it and pointing out every single thing I had done wrong or incorrectly in terms of the technical playing. I had played everything correctly. All the notes were correct, everything. It was just the way I was interpreting the piece. And she made me feel like just a horrible, horrible piano player. And I remember crying and walking out and telling my mom I didn't want to go back. And she said, okay. And I stopped playing piano from that day on for a long time.
Matt, what do you think?
I think that's terrible. And I mean, how old were you at this point?
I was just finishing my sophomore year of high school. So very, very, you know, awkward time in my life already, and like sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah. That's horrible. I mean, have you sort of come to terms with that now over the years? Or, I mean, is it still like, you know, this woman is crazy? Or, I mean, how do you feel about it now?
Well, now I can look back and realize that, you know, she was a piano teacher. She had gone to school to play, you know, classical piano, and she had the metronome. She was like a machine when mm-hmm. it came to piano. And I realize now that, and my mom helped me realize, because I was so young, I couldn't really understand. I was starting to become creative with music. I was starting to add my own inflections, do a little bit of a different thing. And I didn't realize that that was going to be so quote unquote wrong in her book. And when you become creative in any kind of art form or anything you do where other people are going to hear it or listen or possibly judge you, you're literally so vulnerable. And I think that's why, even though I loved piano, it was enough to make me walk away, because it was the first time I had really shown like part of my soul when it came to music. And it was thrown right back in my face. And I was like, no, I'm too sensitive for this. I can't do that.
Wow.
So now I realize it was more of, she couldn't understand because she wasn't a creator. She reproduced the music that was written, but she doesn't create her own. She never did.
I see. So she's kind of like by the book, and you were just sort of, you know, playing it, but putting your own spin on it kind of thing. And she didn't like that.
Correct.
Yeah, that's horrible. I mean, somebody squashing your creativity like that. I mean, I can't imagine.
Yeah, it was painful.
So where did you go from there? I mean, you stopped playing piano. What happened then?
I did. I stopped playing piano. So I gave up. Music was no longer a part of my identity. Both of my parents are scientists. So I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll go to college for science. So just kept going with my life. I majored in biology, and none of my friends ever knew I played piano all through college. And then I graduated college and I kind of did a couple floundering years, you know, trying to figure out what I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I had a couple bad breakups that I decided to kind of put myself out there for the universe to just kind of guide me.
Uh-huh.
And I remember my ex saying, you know, I think you're just wasting time. I think you know what you want to go back to school for. You're just too afraid to do it. And I was like, I don't know what that means, because I don't think I know what to go back to school for. But I was so upset that he like challenged me that I remember getting on the computer that night and looking up master's programs, graduate programs in my state. I'm from Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just one popped up that I was like, oh, this looks interesting. And it was for integrative medicine. And I was like, I don't know what that is. It sounds sciencey. Let me go for it, whatever. And I applied, I got in, and they're like, oh, well, you know, there's two options for you. You can go to this town, which happened to be where my mom lived and I knew, and it would be very convenient. Or you could go to this town that's super far away, but that's where my ex sort of lived near. So I was like, oh, I'm going to pick that one just in case he ever wants to, you know, get back with me. That's it. That's the smart move right there. So anyways, I just joined this program in a city that was pretty far from me. And I remember my very first day, I was sitting there and this girl comes up to me. Her name's Allie. And she sat down. And she's like, hi, how are you? I want to be your friend, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm here because my boyfriend broke up with me and I don't want to talk to you, you know, whatever. And it was this weird program where it was like one weekend a month. So like you just kind of like slept over and you were kind of like camped out for the weekend while you learned different like modalities of natural medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So I had nowhere to go. And she was like, what are you doing after this? And I'm like, nothing. She's like, well, I'm a drummer. And I found this girl on Craigslist I've been talking to, and she's a singer and she's performing tonight and we might collab. Would you like to come with me so I'm not going alone? And I'm like, well, what do I say to that? Sure, I'll come with you. So she's like, do you play music? And I was like, oh, no, I used to play piano when I was little. Not anymore. I gave it up. And she's like, oh, okay. So we end up going to see this girl that she met online sing. And I kid you not, when I go and see this girl, it's the same girl that my ex-boyfriend just moved in with.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. And I really liked her. She's just a roommate situation. And I was like, wow, this is so weird. Like I just met you and then I got broken up with and now I see you again. And they're like, all right, you're going to play with us. We're going to make a band. And I'm like, guys, I play classical piano. I don't even know what jamming is. Like, what are you talking about? So I started jamming with these girls and I was like, oh, this is really fun. Like, I kind of like this. I know what a C chord is and I know what chord sounds good with an E, and all those years of the theory books I wrote in are kind of coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, from there, we just started kind of writing our own music. And I actually started dating another guy who was a musician who ended up being a guitarist in our band. And from there, we just started writing an album. And again, broken up with. And I swear it's not me. I swear. And I was like, well, there goes music again. I had put all my years into this album with this guy that I thought I loved, and now it's gone, and I don't know what to do. And one last time I was like, let me look to the internet. So I went on the internet and I went on Craigslist and there were a bunch of ads for a keyboard player. And I was like, let me just pick one. So I literally eeny, meeny, miny, moe these three different ads. Didn't even know what type of music it was. I landed on one. I emailed the contact. They're like, come meet us in this random warehouse in New Haven tonight for an audition. So I told all my friends where I was going in case they didn't hear from me by a certain time. And I showed up and I had said, I'm never going to date anyone else I ever work on music with ever again. And the lead guitarist walks in and I look at him and he is now currently my husband. So I like to joke that I met my husband on Craigslist.
That's funny.
And from there, it's been no turning back. It's just been music, music, music for me.
Well, Kat, what do you think of that story?
Well, you know that I love that story already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you feel like that the universe was guiding you to, you know, one, get back into music by going to that audition and also of meeting your husband? Like, how much do you feel like is effort and hard work or talent, and how much is like fate of how things play out for you? So it's interesting you say that, because my mom always would joke, like, I was always very good at school and I was always very good at sports and I was always very good at things, but none of it I loved. She'd always be like, what do you want to do with your life? And I just had no clue. And I could have done a lot of things and I could have done them well, but I wouldn't have loved it. And I just didn't settle. I feel like I might have seemed like I was kind of floundering my life, like, you know, serving at restaurants and doing whatever I could in the in between, but like, it made me happy because it gave me the schedule and the time to have the life I wanted to live. So I feel like because I kind of stayed true to myself there and put myself out there, because if I hadn't looked for these things, then they wouldn't have found me. If I had just stayed holed up in my room, I wouldn't have found that graduate program. I wouldn't have met Allie. I wouldn't have, you know, gone to that audition and met my husband, Nick. I wouldn't have done any of that. So I feel like it was equal parts me knowing who I am deep down and having the confidence to put myself out there because of my passion. And I think the talent comes in gradually. Like, you know, I had lost some of my ability having given up piano for so long, but then coming back to it in a reinvented way where I wasn't reading off of a page, I was pulling notes from the atmosphere, from my mind, and then putting them in the way I wanted them. It almost felt like, oh, this is what it was all meant to be. It wasn't necessarily like it felt like I was so talented. It felt like, oh, this all finally makes sense. But of the eeny, meeny, miny, moe method, you could have gone to another audition, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. That was definitely, me and the universe are best friends. Best friends. Yes, that was just like, that's why I have to trust. Like if I, you know, and I say this for all like artists out there, if you're feeling down, like you just have to trust that you're creating something that wasn't there before you thought about it. And it's for a reason, even if you don't really see a reward now, there's something that exists in this world that didn't before. And it's just like, yeah, fate and the universe work in really weird ways. I remember when I actually visited a psychic right after I started the band with my husband, because he actually was in a relationship. So we didn't date right off the bat. I just knew that he would, like, one day I was like, I think we're going to be together. It was just a feeling I had. And so I went to a psychic because I was like, oh, I want to know what the psychic thinks. I'm pretty skeptical, but you know, I have this unrequited love and I'm in this band and I'm feeling good about music and I just want to know what's going on. Check in, you know, let me check in with this universe that I love so much. So I went to a psychic, and right around that same time, my mom had moved and she couldn't fit the piano, the upright piano that I grew up playing, in her house anymore. So she had it sent over to my house. And I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, like, I used to play on this piano. It's kind of got a lot of memories there for me. So now I have this really old ivory keyed out of tune piano sitting in my living room. And I go to the psychic and I'm trying not to give her too much information because I don't really believe she's a psychic and I don't want her to like know anything just by like the way I talk or anything. So I'm trying to be all sneaky, and, you know, it comes up that like, she's like, you're very musical. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. We start talking. And then she says, there's someone trying to come through. And I'm like, what do you mean come through? She's like, there's a grandparent. Your grandfather has a message for you. And I'm like, okay. And she says, you never met him. And it's true. I never met my dad's dad. He died before I was born. And everyone says that I'm the most like him. And so I was like, okay. And she says, he wants you to get that piano tuned.
Wow.
I was like, what? And she says, I don't know. He's just saying that you need to get that piano tuned because you were going to be doing great things with music.
Wow.
And I was shivers all over my body. And I was like, okay, I'm going home and getting that piano tuned. Like, and I actually teach music now as well. I'm a piano teacher. Come full circle. I teach from my house on the piano that I grew up playing. So, and I've written a lot of the songs. I'm currently in a band, Shell Games, like we talked about in the beginning, where I am the main writer. Up until this band, I have always been like kind of like a superfluous player, just like adding my own little part to another band kind of thing going on, or not the lead singer, not the main songwriter. But this time I am writing, I am singing, I am playing piano, and I'm using that piano. And it's just, yeah, I can't tell you. It's crazy. It's wild that this is the point I'm at my life right now.
Hmm.
So did you tell your husband about this experience and with the psychic? And if so, what was his thoughts or reactions?
Oh, yeah. He even said, like, the minute he met me, like, his relationship wasn't going very well. And it was more of like a living roommate situation. He's like, I loved you the minute I saw you. Like, I knew we were going to do stuff with music. And he's actually our producer, and he's recording our whole album, mixing our whole album. And he'll like play guitar on the album. And now we're going to be finished in a couple months with our first album, and we're going to play live, and he's going to play in the band with me. And he really feels into like the whole universe. He does a lot of meditation and like, and very, you know, like thought centered, like approaches to things, like very, I don't know. He's just like, he just supports everything. I don't know. I can't say enough good things about him. He doesn't think I'm crazy. Let's put it that way.
That always helps. That's yeah, right. Good. So in your band, let's talk about your bandmate. So you have your husband. And so is he a high school teacher?
He is. He teaches high school math.
Wow. So that kind of goes along with your science background, I would think.
It does. Yeah. And they always say math and music are like kind of connected in a way in the brain. So
sure.
Makes sense.
Okay. And then you have Emily. So tell us about her.
Oh, Emily. Amazing. She is this tiny little blonde girl who flies jets. She's literally like a jet and seaplane pilot. She has like this crazy training where she like has to crash land on water and all this stuff. But she's our drummer. So when she's not doing that, she is playing drums.
Hmm.
And then Dana.
Dana is my other half in the band because she and I actually share the lead vocals. So it kind of makes it a little more interesting because two people will sing at different times or together. And she also plays bass. And she is awesome because she, and we actually did this today before this interview, she came over and she records like voiceovers for radio and TV commercials. So we were having her talk about a new recycling center that's opening up, and she was just speaking the script, and my husband recorded her and edited it. And it's just so cool to watch her like be able to just like put on this whole other persona and record these commercials. It's pretty cool. But anyway, she's now a flight attendant. So half my band is literally in the air at different times. It's hard to keep us grounded, huh?
That's funny.
Well, I read something about like breaking into what has traditionally been a male dominated, like bands have mostly been male.
Yeah.
And that many times you were mistaken, not for being in the band, but, you know, just being an assistant or groupie or something like that. So, you know, what was that like trying to break into this, you know, to be taken seriously?
I mean, I kind of laugh about it now because it seems funny, but I think I probably was a little bit more upset by certain things at the time. But yeah, I was in three different bands at once at one point, and there was four guys and then me, and then another band had four to five guys and me. And then I was in another band that had like 7 to 10 guys and then me, because there was like a whole horn section and trumpets and whatever. And a lot of, we would be loading in, and a lot of the times I'd be carrying stuff and guys would be holding the doors who worked there or just were there early. And they'd be like, "Oh, your boyfriend's really putting you to work tonight." You know, just like me carrying in his gear. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I know, right? So unfair." And I'd play along with it. And then I'd wait until we were up on stage. And then I stood up there and I was like, "Huh, I am actually one of them." So that was always just like, you know, a little jab.
Kind of feeling, I guess.
Yeah. And just like a lot, I actually, it's not so much now that that affects me. It's more that with this success, and like the reception we've already had with Shell Games, because there are three girls in the band, I've had a lot of people say to my husband, not to me, obviously, but that, "Oh, you know, it must be easy to get streams when you look like those three," or, you know, like, "We should have them do a video where they're like, you know, doing stuff for our music so people will actually listen." Like, just like we're getting streams because of the way we look and that we're girls. And that's kind of more offensive to me even than someone mistaking me for a roadie at this point, because I am really, really doing so, we're doing so much work. And to still at like this day and age, just be like put as like superficial face value. It's just like, really? Have you even listened to our music? Mm-hmm. It's just bizarre that that still happens to me.
Do you ever write about that and the way that you feel about, you know, being, viewed in that way?
Yeah, so after we released five songs, and it's like half of the album, so we released them as singles. And after the first one went out, it was called Into Thin Air, we put it on all streaming services, whatever, we started hearing stuff like that. And so I started writing this other song, and then I was like, you know what, no way. I'm angry. I'm like upset. I'm angry. I put myself out there. This is the first time I've been able to do so. And there's just been some like stuff like, you know, must be easy, blah, blah, blah. So I actually put that into the second song. The second song is called Body Snatchers, and it's a little bit of a darker vibe and just about letting outside opinion affect your self-worth. And that has been our most popular song by far so far. And people have been like asking to play shows with us because of it, and they've been doing artwork for us for it, of how they felt when they listened to the song, and just reaching out. And it's been incredible because of why I wrote that song. And then to have that reception, it's like, okay, I'm okay now, everything's all right, I can do this. You know, you're not always gonna hear what you want to hear, but I'm doing something right, so I'm gonna keep going.
So what is the writing process like for you? How do you, like, does a song lyric come to you, a melody? Is it based on personal experiences? Guide us through that.
Yeah. So for me, at least, I know everyone's songwriting procedure is different, but I will hear something in my head, and then I'll grab my phone and I'll do a little voice recording, and it's a melody of some sort. It could be what the synth ends up doing, the guitar, the vocal. And then once I have like a maybe 20-second clip of what's in my head, I'll sit down on my piano, I'll lay down some basic synth and piano lines, and then I will record a scratch vocal over it. And from there, everyone else will step in and then start adding their instruments, which might be a little backwards. I think a lot of people, when they record and they write, they either all play at the same time, they play together, or they, you know, when they record, they do drums first. But really, our music is started on a piano, and just me alone with my piano and my thoughts. And in terms of lyrics, the lyrics, no matter what I sing in the scratch, it's almost like not gibberish, but just like random words will come out. And it's almost like that's what the song wants to say. And then when I kind of have a vibe of how I want the diction, and if there's going to be a rhyming scheme, I like to put myself in a situation like we have one song coming out called Feels Like Us, and each line is about a different figure in mythology, and then how that would relate to a modern relationship. So I like to like kind of get atmosphere. And then, you know, if it's the breakup song, am I standing on the pavement crying? How am I feeling? Or if it's, you know, about self-worth, here I am flying high and there is everyone trying to knock me down. Like, and I'm just actually trying to visualize what's happening. And then the imagery will come out through the lyrics, I hope.
Do you feel like that the song kind of takes over and guides you as to how it needs to come out or how it wishes to come out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if we're writing something and, you know, they're asking me like, oh, what should happen here? I actually will have to, I'll leave the room and I'll like do a little walk by myself and I need the quiet. And then I'll come back and be like, okay, I got it. And I don't know where it comes from. It just needs to be a little bit quiet. And then the thoughts come and the ideas come. And then from there, we can build on it. And actually, our last song on the album is called Dream Song because I actually dreamed it. And I remember waking up in like the middle of the night and I like did my little voice recordings and they're really ridiculous to listen to now. And I don't even know how I realized what I was doing. But the whole song came from just like something I dreamed up. And I was like, okay, this needs to be out there. And it just kind of goes. This album has been super easy to write, which is a little unnerving because I'm like, oh no, what if I can never write another album? But at least this one, it's been like, oh, it needs to be out there. It just happened.
So in the group, how do you like, let's say that your dream or your, you know, song might be telling you one thing and someone else might have a different idea. How do you resolve, you know, issues like that where you might be getting two different vibes of the way it could go?
Well, we actually have like a rule in the studio. All ideas need to be fleshed out. So if like we have something being said one way and someone has an idea, we'll lay it down and then we can actually hear and compare. And sometimes we're pleasantly surprised that, you know, something we were dead set on needs to be a certain way. We actually have a song on the album coming out called Hangman. And Dana takes the lead on this one for singing. And she came up with this amazing bass line. And she had this vocal that was a little like Southern country rock. But it was just something was like, we wish none of us were like feeling it completely. It wasn't there yet. And then finally she looks at me, she's like, I don't think this should be the vocal. And I'm like, well, what do you want to do? She's like, I don't know, play around with it, see what you come up with. And I came up with a different vocal melody and different lyrics and I had her do it. And we looked at each other, we're like, that's it. That's what the song needed. We needed to just get rid of that vocal melody, get rid of those lyrics, keep that bass line and try again. And now it's one of our favorite songs on the album now. So we never say no. If someone has an idea, it's an idea for a reason. Let's try it. Let's make a decision as a group because you never know.
Do you like co-writing versus just writing by yourself?
I love co-writing because I am just one person. And when I see how these songs become just so multidimensional when everyone else adds to it, it's like mind-blowing. It's like I never thought that this song could be that, but these talented people came in and like made it that way. It's amazing. I also think I would get kind of lonely doing it on my own. I like the collaboration. I like that this is a group thing. We all get to have fun and laugh, and we have random things on the album, like Nick sneezed once and it sounded so cool, so we like kept that in and we like added a bunch more sneezes in the song. And like I'm giggling at one part, and then Dana took a lighter during one song and she went the click on the lighter and then she blew it out and it sounds so cool, we kept that in. So we just like have fun with it.
where does science fit into all of this? I mean, are you have you given this up or?
For now, I went on to get my EMT certification, and I actually did a physics degree as well. I just tried. I kept trying to love science because my mom and dad are both scientists, but my dad also is a saxophone player and he plays in a lot of bands. And so he kind of gets it. He kind of gets like the music thing. And my mom's loving it because this is her dream. This is why she spent all that money on piano lessons. She's front row of every concert I've ever been in. You know, she gets on the list for, you know, first at the door, whatever she wants. And I think that I'm at peace right now with me putting science aside, and really focusing on this. But it is nice to know that if I, you know, do want to pursue something in the future, I have a very good foundation to then go back and maybe try something as a career.
Interesting.
Was your grandfather, that you didn't meet your dad's dad, you know, sent the message, was he musical as well?
He was, yeah. And he was very creative. And again, it's that science and music, like, kind of duality. He was very, very good at writing. He was a musician. And he also was a really prominent dentist. He was actually FDR's dentist.
Wow.
Wow.
He wrote like a book on dentistry and stuff. So with that, like writing and the science and the music, everyone says I'm very much like him and kind of just float in between different things.
That is very interesting. So social media, how has that played out in, you know, like furthering your music career? Is it an advantage? Is it a hindrance?
It definitely is. It's both, I would say. It's both an advantage and a hindrance, because it's an advantage because you do get more reach for your music and your identity and who you are. I've met so many cool people from all over that like are actual people and want to talk and like collab on things. And just, it's been a really cool community growing situation with social media. It's a hindrance because, again, with like, I mean, Instagram and Instagram threads are like our main modalities for, you know, promoting. You do get just kind of like superficial, like photos with a quick caption or whatever. So their depth sometimes isn't there. And I'm, as a creative person, I don't really like advertising myself. I've never been good at like the businessy side. So there's a part of me that like cringes every time I have to like post the photo and being like, yay. But also, you know, with the community being so cool, they make me feel better about it right away. Like, oh, great job, or like liking it, or like, yeah, we feel you. We know exactly what you mean. And like, it's just been a give and take with that, but definitely a necessity in this day and age.
So what is next?
Oh, we're so excited. We're going to be finishing the album very soon. Probably in the next 2 months, it'll be streaming everywhere. And then we are playing live all summer. We are going to be doing an album release show in New Haven, Connecticut. And then we've been talking to different bands in Massachusetts, New York, Rhode Island, planning on doing like a little like New England-y type gig swapping tour. So we're just going to be getting our feet wet with like really presenting these songs to the public and seeing how we feel. And then from there, I'm pretty sure the universe will tell me what to do. I have faith.
So what type of music listener do you feel that your music would most appeal to?
We're definitely like an indie rock type of band, a little dream pop, a little alt pop, alt rock. But what I like about our songs is that each one has a different vibe, because we're crazy, I guess, and we just write whatever. So we have like a very dream poppy song, then a very rocky song, then a kind of bluesy song with some trumpets. So I mean, there's one song about feeling like you're going to space and it's all like trippy. So I don't know, we just kind of want to just, you know, like ADHD friendly.
So who do you listen to?
Actually, it's funny that we all four of us have completely different tastes in music as well. My favorite are like, you know, Bright Eyes, First Aid Kit. These two sisters from Sweden are amazing. Murder by Death, Me Without You, like kind of indie rock, you know, a little grunge, a little folk. And then I've got Nick, who my husband loves, like the Strokes and Radiohead and, you know, all that stuff. And then the girls kind of like that band that I do not know, like that Kurunjibin band. I don't know how to pronounce that famous band that everyone loves. It's like K-H-R-U-G. I don't know. But they're a little like trippy and jammy and yeah, like Led Zeppelin-y. Yeah, we're all different.
Interesting. All right, Matt, what do you think?
Well, it sounds like you got a busy summer coming up, you know, lots of good things happening. When is the album going to be done? Do you know?
We're shooting for 2 months. We're just mixing now and then sending it off to mastering in California. And then we'll give it a couple weeks of like, you know, hype, all that lovely social media. And right. Then it'll be out.
Is there someone who's responsible for all the social media, or do you all kind of jump in and do it together?
I'm kind of doing it for now because mm-hmm. Nick hates it and the other two girls are in the air half the time. Yeah. So they don't get service on the planes. So it's kind of just defaulted to me right now.
Well, your one band member there is she's a flight attendant. She could give out CDs or something.
That's complimentary. Well, you know, it's funny too, because the airline's so small she works for, they don't like offer snacks. And I'm like, you could just give them our cards instead. Like, I know you can't eat this, but here you go.
Or make them out of chocolate.
Oh, that's amazing. That's a great idea.
Yeah, there you go. People would people would read it and then eat it.
I love that.
So what kind of shows do you have planned? I mean, are you doing like a festival kind of thing, or are you just going to...
We were asked to do a Connecticut festival. We're unsure if we're going to do that one because we want our first show to be our album release, which we plan and like kind of orchestrate ourselves.
Right.
But we're definitely going to be playing at some local venues I played at in the past with other bands. That'll be really fun to like reclaim as this project in my mind. But yeah, we have a great community in New Haven, Connecticut. We don't have just the best pizza in the country. We also have a great music scene. So yeah, it's just a really cool community. And there's so many cool venues here. So I'm just excited to like play all of them.
That sounds like fun. So what do you dislike about playing out? I mean, is there anything that like you just rather not do and get maybe roadies to take care of or management or something?
Well, it's funny because aside from drums and any other keyboardists out there will feel my pain, keyboards and synths, and they're not fun to set up. They're heavy. I have a Nord. I have a giant box that it goes in that's on wheels, and it looks like I have like three different machine guns in. It's huge. And it's just awkward and setting it up, and there's all these cables. And then, you know, the guitarists and bassists walk in and they just plug in, throw down their pedal boards, and they're good to go. And they're just looking at me like I'm like slacking. So yeah, I would love to hire like my sister or something to just carry my stuff. That's my least favorite part is setting up and breaking down. And then I'm all like hot before I even start playing. And I'm like, oh, my makeup, you know?
Yeah. And then at the end of the night, it's like, oh crap, I'm tired and just want to chill out. But you gotta...
Ugh, it's the worst. I played one show with another band where we actually had people like set us up and we had like a green room. And I was like, okay, this is my goal.
This is the light.
Yes. I want to tell them that I only want red M&Ms
yes,
in my yeah. rider, and I want to, you know, I want that life.
What do you think you would ask for if you were going down that road? Would it be the red M&Ms?
No, I actually don't really even like red M&Ms. It's just like, I actually have no idea. Maybe like a fan, because I get really hot. Like I like being cold.
Yeah.
So maybe like a nice little fan for the room. That'd be something nice.
Well, you're in New Haven, so it's all just, you know, it's chilly there now, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Always a little. We've had rain for the past like week and a half, so everyone's got supreme depression over here.
Yeah, I'm in Pennsylvania, and I feel your pain.
Oh, yeah. You know.
Yeah. All right, Kat, one more question.
So, you know, looking back to the experience with the piano teacher, what is the lesson learned from that that you could pass on to, you know, others out there that may have a similar kind of experience? You know, if you could go back, would you do the same thing again, like knowing what you know now?
It's hard to say if I would do the same thing or if I regret what went down. I regret losing music and losing the ability to harness my skill as a pianist for so long. But also in the same regard, I didn't want to be a technical classical pianist just replicating music. It helped me find my own path. And I, with my students, especially when I teach them, you know, if they make I have so many students, and it makes me kind of sad. If they make a mistake, they'll say sorry to me. And I'll say, don't say sorry. If you were a robot, then maybe I would be like concerned that your programming was off, but you're a human being, right? Like you're going to make a mistake. And so I see that like, there's one little thing I could say that could like switch it for them. And I was like, oh, I got to be careful that like, you're molding minds. I want them to love music. Music's supposed to be fun. I would say for anyone learning an instrument or creating, if you're not doing something like somebody else, that's a good thing. You know, the people you remember are the innovators, the people that sounded different, the people that were weird at first, not someone that does something exactly like somebody else, just the way they did it. So I think that individuality is key in terms of, you know, creating an artistic legacy and just also having the most fulfillment you can get out of your art. So I would just say, keep going. If it feels right to you, it's right.
Well, I know I was only supposed to get one more question, but I have one more. So we've asked this question of a lot of the people that we've interviewed. Is having a plan B, you know, is that a negative or a positive in that it gives you an out if things don't go the way you plan for plan A? But if you didn't have it, you know, would that be a better situation? So what's your thoughts on the plan B, which you had, of course, by, you know, pursuing education as well?
Yeah, I think, and it just happened that I have a plan B. I don't think I actually consciously was like, oh, I need a plan B. And I think in terms of having one, it just really depends on what type of person you are. I think if you're the type of person that if you have a plan B, then you'll be a little bit more lax on your approach to your passion, then don't have the plan B. You know, it's life or death situation. You got to make this happen or it's nothing. If you're the type of person where not having a plan B would give you so much anxiety that then it would then take away from your ability to be creative and pursue your passion, then have a little bit of a, you know, an out, a plan B where you know it's there, but yet now you're free emotionally to pursue your passion. So I really think it just depends on the type of person you are. And for me, like I said, the universe and I are best friends. I feel like if something were to, you know, happen and I would had to pause or give up music for some reason, I would find another way to make myself happy. I'm not the type of person that's going to lose sleep over that.
Well, it sounds like a good answer to me. So it has been great having you as a guest, and I hope that you'll come back again in the future after the album release and the tour, and, you know, let us know how things are going as the universe keeps guiding you.
Oh, thank you so much. I would love to. This has been so, so fun and healing too, to talk about it and to be able to share this experience that I've kept with me for so long, hidden.
Well, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And please do come back. We want to hear how the summer goes. And, you know, if you got a chance to hire roadies or got that green room experience, we want to hear all about it.
I will definitely. And you guys have to let me know if you're New Haven. I will tell you the best piece of place.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you again so much for having me.
All right. Take care. Thank you. As always, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments, you can send those to Kat at mywritesplease@outlook.com. Or you can write to me at backstorysessions@gmail.com or matt@level11ventures.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.